We are so blessed with so many good musicians, singers. Wonderful day today, isn't it? I promised Brother Keith that I'd bring something up to you this morning about this little list that we have. It tells us what to be praying for each and every day of this week. Now, learned by text and by voice that they had a glitch or two on the way both to Nashville and to someplace in Nova Scotia. Both vans had problems. And you know what? The Lord provided somebody to fix those vans. His name was Tim Unger. God is good all the time. Amen. But I want to remind you that they're in their church service probably right now. Maybe they're about even finished because they're an hour ahead of us. But tomorrow, the team is going to begin the construction, and I want you all to pray that every one of them will be protected, will be strengthened, and will not have any problems, and they'll be able to do the work that needs to be done to build at least two buildings so that youth can come and receive Jesus Christ and hear the word of God. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, as we come into your service this morning, we pray that you'd just allow us to know a special touch from the Master's hand. I ask you, Lord, to be strong in us, in our presence this morning, that the Spirit would touch us all, and that we would know that we've been in the presence of the holy and righteous God that loves us. Be with our team that's in Nova Scotia and with those people that are wanting them to help. We pray, Lord, that every one of them would be strong, would be strengthened. I pray for their preacher that's preaching today and that the word of God is strong and powerful. I pray for the ones that are hearing that they'd all be given an encouraging word this morning. And I pray that for us here too today. Now, Lord, you be with us as we break the bread of life together. In the holy name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning before we start. Is there anybody in here that has a to-do list? A to-do list. There's one. Another. I do. Brother Keith told us a few Wednesday nights ago he has one. Now, what is a to-do list? Well, and the one that I'm first talking about here this morning, it's what I need to be doing for my life. You know, things that I need to do. Like, it has three phases. One, it's what I need to do for the next week coming up. Two, it's things that I need to be doing for the next month. And then three, it's for a long-range plans of 6 to 12 months down the road. Those are things that I can accomplish and help me stay on track. But sometimes I lose focus of what needs to be going on in my own home. For example, I let the grass get too high, or maybe I didn't rake the leaves. So my wife, she's very good at this, she makes me a list. And she says, I don't know if you know this, but you read those and you need to get started right away. And so I look and say, okay. Because then my heart just kicks in and I know I've got to be the yard man. Go rake the leaves, clean the windows on the outside, get the leaves out of the gutter. We don't have to do that anymore since a tornado blew our trees all down. Don't have many leaves around. But normally that's the way it works. You know, it's things around the house that's on my to-do list. The only thing that connects the items that are on my list are that those are items that I need to be doing as part of our relationship in the marriage. Those are things that Jim needs to be doing, not Jim the pastor or Jim the preacher. Jim the husband, Jim the grandfather, Jim the father. Now, our text this morning is in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. And I want to tell you something right now. This is five verses. And on this, we're going to see another list. It's a Christian to-do list. If we claim to be a Christian, every one of us should have at least five things on our to-do list, and I'm going to give them to you to make sure that you know what they are. Please make sure that you take notes on what you should be doing as a Christian, because it's going to help you be a better Christian. Let's read our text beginning in verse 9 of chapter 12. Let love be without, what's that word? Hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. That's some pretty good things to do, isn't it? And I want to tell you this about this list. That's five. But if you went on and read 14 through 21, you'll see a few other things there that would be good for a Christian to do each and every day, all the time. And by the way, as you go through life, if you're improving as a Christian, you're going to see other things that a good Christian should be doing. Put them on your list so that you can look at them and be reminded, this is what I should be doing. So that way it resolves a lot of issues if something goes wrong in the family. We know that what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be good Christian people. So this to-do list gives us a great variety of things from a Christian's point of view that we all should be doing. The list contains short exhortations, things that we ought to do to match what God wants us to do. And we can none of them proceed or precede anything else that's before it. It's all about each individual thing that we need to be doing. Therefore, read the rest of chapter 12 when you get home. See if there's anything else you can add to your Christian to-do list. With that said, let's look at the first thing that Paul mentions on the Christian to-do list. Love others sincerely. Love others without hypocrisy. Love must be sincere. It's got to be. As Paul says in the beginning of verse 9, love must be without hypocrisy. Without. In other words, our love for others must be genuine or authentic, not counterfeit or fake. What's the difference between real love and fake love? The word is actions. Let me repeat it. Actions. It's what we do for somebody. It's what they're doing right now in Nova Scotia. That's love, folks. That's Christ-like love to help a brother that needs it. Real or sincere love demonstrates itself by doing and by actively helping others. Whereas hypocritical love is characterized by inactions. Hypocritical love is characterized by words, hugs, smiles, and best wishes. You know, I wish I could help you, but you know my dog, it died yesterday and I got to bury it. We can come up with any kind of an excuse not to do what we should be doing as a Christian. So now let's look at the second thing on our Christian to-do list. Second, on the marquee, it says, hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. Paul's words here about our attitude toward sinful, immoral things are quite strong. Folks, this is probably going to touch on some of our toes this morning, this part. We're literally to detest things that are evil, that are wicked, that we shouldn't have anything to do with in our lives. He's kind of talking about something like a messy diaper. I want nothing to do with that. I want it out of my house and out of my life as fast as I can get it. That's the way we need to be about sin in our lives. We don't want to have anything to do with it. We don't want it in our life. We want it out of our lives. So the attitude that we have toward evil is important. We're not to endure it, accept it, live with it, or we are, though, to hate it. Hate sin. We're to hate things like gossip, promiscuity, deceit of any kind, thievery of any kind, jealousy, lust, pride, divisiveness, etc., etc., etc. You can fill in a few more if you would. My wife hates bugs, especially roaches and spiders. I think we can also add stink bugs to that list because they've been so prevalent in the last 2 or 3 years. I know that she really detests bugs and doesn't just dislike having them in the house. I know that she really hates having them in the house. They're not just slightly offensive to her. She detests them. After screaming for me if I'm around, "Jim, come quick!" She'll take an entire can of bug spray if I'm not, for that one roach. Slight exaggeration, but only slight. She hates bugs and therefore passionately tries her best to be rid of them, even if that means going overboard. Paul is saying that we're to have the same type attitude toward the evil things that we come in contact with. There's no place or acceptance of it. Do not endure it, ignore it, put up with it, or be lackadaisical about evil or the attitude that is in your heart, evil attitude in your heart. Do everything you can to be rid of it, even to the point of going overboard. Many people have a tendency to allow certain sins to take place in their presence and then say, "It's okay. Well, you know, it's my child. It's my grandchild. It's my best friend. It's my uncle." God doesn't see it that way. We're to tell somebody that they're wrong when they're wrong. And we're not to put up with anything that's wrong in their lives. That doesn't mean you don't love them. Matter of fact, it shows that you do. The second thing on the Christian to-do list is to hate what is evil. Now let's look at the third thing on the Christian to-do list. Cling to what is good. With the same kind of passion that we had with evil things, we need to have with good things. We need to allow those things into our lives. We need to dwell on those things every day. For a period of time, there were people that were news reporters that were giving us news reports about children that had been abducted. Do you remember little Cupcake McKinney? This has caused most parents to take care in watching their children. I'm sure that those parents wish they had watched Cupcake a little closer. People are holding their hands in their children's hands in malls, and they're personally watching them as they play in the front yard. They're not going to the parks like they used to. They're securing their homes with extra locks. And a lot of people have these doorbell alarm systems that show who's there now. Good things. Why? Well, there are bad things out there that want to get in the house. And what they're doing is, in effect, clinging and holding tightly to their children. They don't want anything bad to happen to them. Christians Paul is telling Christians to act toward those things in our lives which are good. Hold on to them tightly. Do everything that we can to ensure they stay in our lives all the time. What's meant by the word good? The Greek word translated as good was used of things that were morally good and of things that were beneficial and useful for a productive Christian life. Taking these dual meanings into consideration, Paul is telling us to hold tightly to things that are morally good and that are and are beneficial for growing as a Christian. Beneficial for growing as a Christian. That's what we should all be doing, right? Every one of us should be getting better. Even if we're older, we need to be getting better as a Christian. Amen? The Bible, the Christian fellowship, church attendance, daily Bible reading, quiet time are all characteristics of a person that's wanting to do good and be good. Because we're serving God's purposes. Even though these things are good, they're not going to stay in your life unless you put some effort in to keeping them there. Any of you have a fireplace? If you put a log in there, and after a while, if it'll go out unless you keep stoking it, adding more fuel to it, amen? If you really want to put it out, you can take a bucket of water and throw it in there, and it's gone. It's out. It's put out. And that's what Satan wants to do to us. He wants us to fizzle out, or he wants us to drown out. He doesn't want us to be anything close to a Christian. He doesn't want us to show Christian tendencies in anything that we do. Let us be okay with everything that the world has said. If you want to be woke, it's okay, he says. It ain't. Bad English, but use for reference. Even though those things like Bible reading and prayer time are good, they won't stay in your life unless you make an extra effort to cling to the good. How many people have at times kind of slipped away? Well, the answer to that is far too many. We forget. We get off the track. We turn the train over. So the third thing on the Christian to-do list is to cling to what is good. Let's look at the fourth thing on the Christian to-do list. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's one thing that I'll say about this church that I know is so true. We have a lot of people that love each other. It's a wonderful asset for our church. This verse could be translated, love other Christians as part of a family. What do we call each other, brother or sister? We may not use that as often as we used to, but that's a term that one Christian can know about another person, that they're our brother, they're our sister. And we can have a warm affection for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should. When a person becomes a Christian, they really become a part of a new family. This is our family. If one of the members in our family is hurting, we should go there and help them. We've lost some folks lately. And we were there to support them. We're there to help them. That's imperative. It's important. So this to-do list item is cling to what is good. So let's take a look at the fourth thing, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This verse also can be translated, love other Christians as part of the family. And the main emphasis on the verse here is the manifest, and it's manifested in a local congregation. You know, many times our people that we have in a congregation, We're closer to them than perhaps a sibling who may live in Oklahoma or Washington or even Alaska. Why? Because we're here as a family. And who is the Father? Jesus Christ. This is why it hurts to see Christians move away. After all, we're losing a part of our family. And it's when one comes back and when we say, oh, we're so glad to see you back, it just gives our heart a warm feeling to know that somebody has come back into our fellowship. This is why we rejoice when a fellow Christian gets a job promotion. We're happy for them. The church is not just a club or a group of people. It's a family where people love one another as a family. This affection and love for one another is a wonderful thing, but it can be spoiled if we don't do what we should do when a brother or a sister is hurting, because that might extinguish their fire. We don't want to do that ever. We want to help. We don't want someone to have a hardened heart because of something that took place and we weren't there for them. We need to respond. We need to make sure that everything that we do is done so that the person we're trying to support understands we love them. We care for them. We're there for them. We're with them. We must be willing to forgive other offenses, petty disagreements, jealousy, demanding our own way, and responding to minor theological differences as though they were major. We must guard against all these things so that we can fulfill the fourth thing on the Christian to-do list, which is be devoted to another and brotherly love. Now let's look at the fifth thing on the Christian to-do list. Fifth item is honor one another above yourself. When my children were younger, if report card time came about, one of them would have come up and say, you know what, Dad? My brother got an A in spelling. No, he wouldn't do that. But he'd say, you know what, Dad? I got an A in math. Even though he knew that his brother had gotten an A in spelling. You know, that's the way we as people are. Rather than wanting somebody else to be honored, we want to be honored. All of us want to be honored. This isn't true only of children. It's also true about adults. Although we tend to be more subtle in our approach, we might not go through the door as fast as a child does. As children, though, our minds are to be transformed into a new way of thinking, and part of the new way of thinking means seeking the honor of others above ourselves. And this is the fifth thing on the Christian to-do list. In essence, what Paul is saying is that we should consider others more important than we are. Than we are. We should strive hard to see others, not ourselves, for their qualities, for their abilities, for the things they do. I think we've got some of the greatest musicians in the world here. I mean, we got two or three that are up there. But yet, we've got some more that can do it. I think we could have a great ensemble here if we just got to picking and grinning. In essence, what Paul's saying to us is consider others more important than ourselves. What did Christ do? What was the example that he gave for us to do? He took his robe off and did what? Washed the feet of the disciples. How many of us would do that? How many of us would even take our shoes off for somebody to wash? We don't want anybody to do that. But that's what Christ did with his disciples. He washed their feet. And folks, in those days, that was the last man on the rungs. That's a slave's job, not our Lord and Savior. But he did it. People are seeking their own recognition, and they see themselves as giving sacrifices and talents and spiritual gifts or spirituality. They don't see what somebody else has done. One guy here playing a guitar this week, another guy playing a guitar there next week. And I'm not telling you that there's any problem here. There's not. But that there could be if the heart was not right. I want to take a moment and ask you some questions. Honestly, now you've got to answer honestly. Am I more concerned, you don't have to say it out loud, when others are overlooked or when I'm overlooked? Do I delightfully strive to see that others are recognized for their value in the body of Christ? Or do I secretly hope that my value is recognized and appreciated? The only way the church can operate in a way that glorifies God and fulfills his purposes is if we can truly seek the welfare and honor of everybody that's in it. All of us. You know, we've looked at five things on the Christian to-do list this morning. The first is love others sincerely. Do you love others sincerely or do you love self more? That's an especially important question that only you can answer. Second, hate what is evil. We must never be seen to allow any form of evil to exist in our presence. Not even if it's a sibling, a child, a grandchild, a parent. God won't honor it if we do. Third, cling to what is good. Jesus is good and we should cling to the things that he stands for. We should pursue those things that are lovely, pure, kind, and beneficial to the kingdom's growth. And these all are things that belong to Jesus. And then fourth, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. If someone attacks my wife or my children or my grandchildren, I'm going to be on the defensive. I'm going to do whatever I can to support them, to help them, to overcome whatever is going on. This may also include, though, if I'm supporting them, telling them when they're doing wrong. We need to make sure that we don't sugarcoat anything. We don't rubber stamp sin because that's not what Jesus is about. And God won't accept it if we do. We all have strayed from the mark at times. And aren't we glad that there's somebody there that can draw us back in, that we can feel the strength of that person as they're telling us what we need to be doing to be better Christians? And then fifth, honor one another above yourselves. We must all surrender and seek the best for others. This is one of the best ways that we can show the love of the Lord. I don't know if you made notes this morning, but I challenge you to make your to-do, your Christian to-do list, starting with these five things. And then add to it. Read those other verses I told you about. And then add to it. And then when you come across something in your life that you realize that you need to be doing, then add to it. Let that list grow, so that your everyday event in your life is to show Jesus Christ and what he wants you to do. Now you may be saying, well, that's all well and good, but I'm not a Christian. Well, I understand that There's something for you. You say, I've been thinking about it. I would kind of like to be one, but I didn't know how to do it. I want to be a Christian if somebody can make it real simple. Well, I'm going to make it as simple as ABC. A, you have to admit that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and that he is your only hope of salvation. Two, believe. Believe that he died on the cross. Believe that he can save you and that he has a place for you in heaven. And then C, confess. Confess that you have sins and repent of those sins. If you'll do the ABCs, you will be saved. And God's got a place for you right now in heaven with your name on it. All you have to do is believe and confess. You'll do those three things. You can have the kingdom for all eternity. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful for the fact that you are a powerful, loving, and caring God. That you have given us these five areas where we can improve our lives if we'll but just follow the standard that you set for us. We ask you, Father, to come in our presence this morning through your Holy Spirit and touch a heart, change a life. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they would surrender and say, hey, I want to do the ABCs in Christ so that for Christ in this sanctuary so that I can be saved, so that I can live with Jesus for the rest of my life. Lord, you're such a loving and caring God, and I ask you now to prick a heart, to allow someone to say, yes, I desire to have Jesus as my Savior. We give you this morning, Lord. It's always yours, and today we thank you for allowing us to break the bread of life together. In the name of Jesus, who's my Lord and Savior, I do pray. Amen.